Hello, everyone, and welcome to the first ever episode of the iHeartWC podcast, a new show coming to the Elite POV Patreon, hosted by yours truly, the draw Jackie Rodriguez, wow. And as always, joined by my co-host and my right-hand man, my favorite Canadian, the producer who, Mr. Kyle Masters.
Is there any,
Kyle, how you doing?
There better not be another favorite Canadian here, okay? I should be number one. Always.
I said my favorite Canadian. You better stay that way. I mean, listen, you're only a close second would be Celine Dion. And that's like a super close second. And she's a legend.
If she took number one, I wouldn't be mad. that's an easy one. I'm just saying some rando Canadian coming here taking my spot. Freaking one winged angel, you threw a table to take that spot back.
It's Kyle, Celine Dion, and then poof, like the next one is by a long shot.
Love it.
So
yeah, hi. You get to host a show. Look at this. This is going to be awesome, and I can't wait. I was so excited for you to actually host this show, because when we were talking about ideas for this show, you said to me, you were like, can I be the one to host a show? I'm like, yes, please, because I fucking hate hosting shit all the time. I don't hate it. I host like 800 shows. So like this would be like a break and a half for me. So I'm like, Jackie, take the effing wheels, man. Take this. It's all you. Well, I'll just be your second here. I love this.
And, you know, not to toot my own horn, but this is my baby here. This is my brainchild, because before we get into introducing our very special guest here, I just want to give a brief introduction. We wanted to do something a little bit special and reach out to our IWC, which is the Internet Wrestling Community, and just bring in the more positive side, because everybody wants to harp on the negative when it comes to the IWC. But we want to showcase a lot more of the positive aspects and the great people that are in this community. And I couldn't think of a better way to introduce this show with our first guest, my brother from another mother. I consider this man legitimately like a part of my family. He is a host of the All Things Elite podcast, Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr.
Hello. Hey, thank you for having me on. I'm excited to be here on the show. I just need to point out, as your friend, that Dax might be mad at you on your favorite Canadian comment, because there's this name guy named Bret Hart, and you just kind of left him off the list. But I just wanted to throw that out there in case.
Unless he's a Celine Dion fan.
In case he ever decides to listen to this podcast, which would be the greatest honor of my life.
But Dax, I didn't forget Bret. Just know that. So I am very happy to be on the show. When you told me you wanted to show them what the subject was, I was excited immediately. It's just like, because I was like, man, let's talk about love. And you're like, oh, I love it. I was like, I do love the IWC. I know it gets a lot of flack, but I do. So I am happy to be here wearing my FTR shirt. And
yeah.
See all the stuff behind me. I am ready to rock and roll.
You have a really cool wall back there. I like the left side with all the figs in like perfect line there. I'm sure you used a very perfect measuring tool to get them exactly in a line there.
So my measuring tool is called my beautiful wife, Crystal. Does this look straight? Does this look straight? That's pretty much how.
Behind every great man is a great woman. Okay. Yeah. No, There was without a shadow of a doubt. When we first talked about putting this show together, mentally, I started putting a list together of all the potential guests that I wanted to have on the show. And immediately, Floyd was at the very top of the list. So because if you listen to All Things Elite, which is a great podcast, because support other podcasts here, people. We uplift each other. We're not stingy here. But Floyd is known as the proclivity for positivity. And I absolutely love that moniker.
Beautiful nickname.
And he lives up to that moniker 100%. So, Floyd, I just want to ask you, what would you say drives that particular aspect of your personality?
Okay. When you saw that question, and I just said, I had this thought, It was because I honestly wasn't in the IWC. Most of my life was my I talked to my friends about wrestling and I didn't really post about it. I think that changed in 2016 when somebody, my friend Dave, asked me to do a podcast with him, and I started doing a podcast, and then I started growing, joining wrestling groups and all that stuff, created like my own little Facebook wrestling group and all that kind of stuff. But until then, I wasn't in the IWC. So a lot of the stuff that you see that's just like negative and people hate and all that stuff, I never saw. It was just like, I just watched the show every week and I just enjoyed it. And I'm like, why don't more people do that? I'm like, because if I genuinely don't like a show, I'm just not going to watch it anymore. If I hate what a product has become, I'm just not going to watch it anymore. But every week I'm tuning into YouTube, I'm tuning into TBS and TNT. I watched Raw and SmackDown.
You could cuss here.
I didn't know.
It's the Patreon wall.
We're good here. We cuss like sailors.
Oh, I'm like, I'm watching Raw and SmackDown every week. And I'm like, if I don't like this, if I'm not enjoying this, why am I watching it? And the thing is, I do enjoy it. So when I would, even when my early podcasting days, it would be like an hour and a half or 2 hours of me bitching about everything I didn't like. And I was like, that's not what I want. I stopped enjoying the podcast because it was just like, oh, I'm going to get on here and talk about everything I don't like when there is a larger percentage of every show that I like. So that's going to focus on. Even when something doesn't come off well, it doesn't come off well. I'm probably, if you listen to the show, I'm probably going to glance over that because you have 120 different podcasts are going to talk about why that was shitty. And then they're going to, like, you can listen to any of those that you want to. But when you come to here, I'm going to focus on what I like. When you listen to me, I'm going to focus on what I like and have fun. I'm not saying I don't have the cater thing, like something doesn't make sense to me. I'm not toxic positivity. Everything is not sunshine and rainbows. But I am going to do everything I can to focus on what I like instead of what I don't like.
Yeah, I think it rubs. I think when you have a show out there that if this person or people are focusing just on like the negative side of things, it's like that kind of rubs off and kind of influences what we see in the IWC. We see a lot of negativity. Well, that's probably because like there's, you know, they're listening to a lot of platforms that are kind of feeding into that negativity and they kind of reflect that on their timelines and such. It's like if most of these podcasts kind of did what we did and focus mostly on the positivity, I kind of feel like that kind of would also reflect on the timelines. I think people would see and be a little bit more positive. I kind of feel like that kind of influences a lot of people. But I also wanted to preface on what you said in the beginning there. If you don't like something, don't watch it. It's exactly what you should do. Rather than keep watching it and you know, making yourself more negative and posting it online, you know, you're kind of doing yourself more harm than good. Just don't watch exactly what I did with the WWE. I fell out of love with it because I didn't like it. I stopped. I'll admit, at one point way back in the day, I would complain on Twitter. This is back way before AEW was even a thing. But then eventually I just stopped and I just stopped watching. That was it. Like I as soon as I stopped watching and stopped talking about it, I left it in the back door. I didn't bother going online and posting negativity or feeding into negative comments and negative posts. I don't find a really, I know some people love doing that and they get high off it, whatever, it is what it is. I really wish people wouldn't do that because I think look at positive posts on the IWC, or if you look at the positive things, it just, I don't know what it is. Like I sit there and I'll read like almost every comment and like on a massive post, it's just all positivity. It just makes you feel better about the product you're watching. Like if you see a post about a certain, just for example, about a certain match and it's all positivity, it'll make me want to go and watch that match. If I'm seeing a post about a bunch of negative and people are just shitting on it and saying kind of like rude things, it's not going to kind of make me want to go and watch it. You know what I mean? There's something about that makes me not want to go and watch it if I'm seeing a lot of negativity. But I love that, Floyd. I love that. That's what you make your show about, because I think it, from the podcasts I listen to, and I only keep a select few on my list because I know I'm getting positivity most of the time, or if not all the time. And that's why your show is on that list for me. I feel like there needs to be more of these shows out there. I think that would do a lot of help and justice for the IWC.
And I completely agree. I know there's so many TV shows out there, and it's just like, what I've realized is like all my favorite shows. I mean, I guess you can go, but it's a lot harder to find like when Big Bang Theory was really hot or whatever. And I'm a big fan of that show. I would go online and a few comments I would see about Big Bang Theory would be like, oh, I like the show or whatever. But most people watched it without getting on Twitter and breaking down every minute to minute of what they didn't like. Well, I don't like Penny talking to Wallowitz that way. I don't like Cooper. Because it's like, why don't you give wrestling that same respect?
Exactly.
Like, there's going to be parts of an episode you don't like, and there's going to be parts of the episode you love. I don't know. Focus on the part you love.
Yeah, I definitely err on the side of now, especially like, you know, when I log in, I'll elevate the things that I enjoyed about a show. I'm not going to spend time tweeting about the things that I didn't like. If I didn't like it, I won't talk about it. If I loved it, I'm going to just gush about it. And that's just my MO. Elevate the good things and the things that I don't like. I don't think people log in to hear me complain about things. I don't think people even log in to hear me and the things that I do like about it. I just want to talk about it because it makes me feel good to talk about the things that I like. So it's just keep it up.
Yeah. The day you don't look forward to podcasting or talking about wrestling, you should quit talking about wrestling.
Yep.
Facts.
I'll hang up the microphone if that makes any sense if I ever get to that point.
But on that note, Floyd, what are your earliest memories of becoming a wrestling fan?
So, this leads into my family, because for a lot of people, wrestling is a family thing. I have 8 sisters and a brother.
Oh, wow.
My brother, Kenneth, is 10 years older than me. So, like, talk about being in different points in your life when you're, like, when I was born, he was, like, going through his life and stuff. But he, around 9... he became a wrestling fan. So I always tell people, they ask how long you've been watching wrestling, and I'll say it, and I'm not trying to be dramatic when I say it, it's birth. Like, wrestling was so, like, always a part of my life. Like, my first vivid wrestling memory is Kerry Von Erich versus Ric Flair.
Wow.
And like David Von Erich Memorial. A memorial show where Kerry won the title. That's like my first memory, you know, like Ric Flair losing the title is my first memory. But like Ric Flair was, I always say wrestlers are my celebrities. Ric Flair was a bigger part of my life than any football player, was definitely a bigger part of my life than Michael Jordan, or let's say any of the celebrities or actors that people like. It was Flair, Hogan. They're like, these were my heroes. These were the people I looked at. I know I'm not supposed to say Hogan was my hero now, but hey, 1983, didn't know.
That was the time. Yes,
I didn't know. And it was like, yeah. And I'm like, I've always just been enamored with the beauty that is professional wrestling. But the Von Erichs were one of the building blocks of me becoming a professional wrestler. And I always say my love for wrestling comes from two parts. My mom loves soap operas. She watched she watched Young and the Restless and Days of Our Lives.
And classics.
Yeah, my dad loves sports. So if you marry wrestling between two things, it is soap opera and sports.
100%.
When I say, like, I was, like, brought into this world to be a wrestling fan or whatever, that's kind of how I feel every day.
Wow.
I'm always, when it comes to me, I'm always going to try to bring more people and be a positive light for wrestling.
Man, my earliest wrestling memory is crazy. I remember... I don't know what I was exactly doing, but it wasn't on TV. It was on a computer, and I stumbled upon a video of a wrestling match. And this is my first memory of my, and that was the very first match I ever watched. And believe it or not, it was in 98 or 99. It was the Inferno match between Undertaker and Kane.
Oh,
that was the very
what first, a way to start.
Like that was, and I'm like, what the hell is this? Why is there fire around this damn ring? Like, what is going on? And I was hooked from then. And that was like the, and I got hooked on the Undertaker. He's like my favorite of all time still. And that's what got me into watching wrestling. Then I stumbled upon like promos and what wrestling shows were all about. But I remember watching that match and like screaming at me. I'm like, "Mom, this guy's on fire. What the hell is going on? Like, what am I watching? Why is the ring surrounded by fire?" I was like, "What in the Cirque du Soleil shit is going on my screen right now?" But it was that's my first ever memory. It's the farthest back I can remember watching wrestling for the very first time, and it that caught my eye, and I was hooked ever since. It was to this day I can't remember how I stumbled across it, but I'm glad I did.
Yeah,
it's the perfect one of the perfect first matches. I will say, I will always say, when people talk about what's the first match if you're introduced into wrestling, I would always say come some kind of gimmick or crazy match, because I want to set the tone that you shouldn't take this too seriously. I was like, no one's right. Going to allow two people fighting around fire. And to lose, you have to be set on fire. And that is illegal. That will never be allowed. So, you know, you come into wrestling with the right mindset, is that this is fun.
Yeah, I got introduced to wrestling in the late 90s also. I was a late bloomer. Like, all my cousins watched it, and I thought it was the corniest stuff ever. Like, I was like, oh, you watch this shit, this is so lame or whatever. And I came into it kind of reluctantly, because I had to chaperone one of my little cousins for the first episode of SmackDown. My mom's like, oh, you know, they do a lot of like weird risque kind of stuff, like, you know, watch it with him just in case they do anything that's a little too over the top, like, you know, make sure you change the channel if it gets too extreme. And I'm like, oh, I have to watch this stuff with him. And I think it was like maybe like one or two segments into it, I was hooked. And I'm like, and I never looked back ever since. And it's just one of those things where it's, you either get it or you don't, but it's like immediately freaking hooked. And like you said, it's just the ridiculousness of it all, especially during that time period, that it's so over the top that you're never going to find another medium forum like it. And, once you're in, you're in. I feel like you don't get out of it. I don't know anybody that's like, oh, I used to watch it and then I'm completely out of it for life.
Yeah. For me, at least, if it was like a technical wrestling match I stumbled upon, I probably wouldn't have watched it. Like, I probably would have kept going. But lucky enough, I stumbled upon an Inferno match, which got me instantly hooked.
Literally one of the iconic matches of WWE. You probably... Like it's one of the matches WWE created. I don't know. Forgive me if there was some small indie that set the ring on fire before them. But as far as I was concerned, it's something they created, and they did it well. And it was just like, you know, man, it's just like, it's bringing back the fond memories, because the Attitude Era was before my high school years. And it was like, I was always the kid that did the wrestling moves, had the wrestling toys, all that stuff. And then all of a sudden, everybody wanted to know someone that knew a lot about wrestling.
Yeah.
Right here. I'm like, hand raised. And it was like, I wouldn't say I was like popular, but I was definitely more known than I would have if wrestling didn't exist.
Oh, I was definitely that kid. When I stumbled across that and I started watching wrestling more, I think I was like 8 or 9. I was 7 or 8 at least. I had a 5-foot-tall Daffy Duck doll. It was about 5 feet tall, and he became my wrestling dummy. I was freaking pedigreeing him on the ground, tombstoning him, choke slamming, hucking him down the stairs after I was done doing like a freaking like a false count anywhere match, just like suplexing him down the stairs, like. Just go. I was that kid. 100%. I was that kid. It was nuts. But
yeah, I had my brother for that. I'm surprised we didn't end up in the ER, because all those stupid adverts of like, don't try this at home. Yeah, we didn't listen to any of that.
I've literally been in every submission move in wrestling history. So
kids never pay attention to that.
Yeah, my brother was 10 years older than me, so he was quite much larger than I was. So, and I was, you know, unsurprisingly flexible at that age. Figure fours, like everything. Anytime my whole world, the worst thing I didn't hate it was when he said, "Oh, that's a new move," because I knew who the test dummy was going to be on that new move. I just want to see if it really hurts. And in my childhood brain, it was like, oh, my brother wants to play with me. But no, he wants to do wrestling moves on me to see if they actually hurt.
That's awesome.
Why was that a thing, though? Because like me and my brother would literally say that to each other. It's like, I wonder if this actually hurts. And then he applied a sleeper to me one day and actually knocked me out.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I wonder if it actually hurts. Yeah, it actually does.
Yeah, yeah, they all hurt.
Let's be real. Kids would see that, you know, please don't try us at home commercial they used to play, but they never listened. They just liked read. I if you were like me, I just loved saying it out loud at the same time, but I never listened to it. I just knew what exactly every lyric for lyric because it would play all the time. And every time it went on, I'm sitting there like waiting, going, yeah, don't try us at home. Like, but like, I'd be like saying the entire commercial. You hit the one with the JR. They'd be broken in half. Like, it was just, you weren't paying attention. You were just, you knew what the commercial was. So you would just repeat it. It's like listening to a song you love.
Yeah. It's, but honestly, if you look at other sports, it's like you pretend like you're making the game winning shot and, you know, like you're making the big catch. You pretend like you're doing this stuff. So it's like, it's going to correlate to wrestling also. Like, I want to do the big move. I want to hit someone with sweet chin music or whatever. And it's just, yeah, I did a lot. Now, unfortunately, wrestling was banned in my house more than once at growing up because of, you know, my ability not to not try it at home. Is that how you would say it? Yeah, I did not know how to listen to those rules.
It's crazy what it was then and it is now, because now, like, you have, like, I don't know if you've seen those, they're on TikTok, these group of guys that, like, will go into random places and just start, like, doing a bunch of moves to each other.
Oh, like, yeah, like at a Walmart or something. Yeah,
the last
like
one
that.
I seen, they were, like, in, like, a fast food restaurant. Yes. And the guy, like, climbed the cashier counter and, like, jumped, and the guy gave him an RKO, like, onto the ground. I'm like, what the f-? And then they would do, like, a few moves, and then they would book it right out of the place. And then the restaurant people were like, what the hell's going on?
I saw it at a Waffle House, and the people at Waffle House, like, completely no-sold them. They just kept cooking, and it's like, oh, okay, whatever.
Yeah, they're used to that.
Bunch this of, is like, this is the least drunk crazy teenagers. Thing I've seen.
Oh, my God. Well, I feel like, Floyd, you've met pretty much every wrestler there is to meet at this point. But what are some of your favorite stories? Or at least, I don't know if you can pick one, but like if you could try to narrow it down.
I wonder where you guys are going with this.
I was gonna say, number one, I feel like she knew she was about to be put over. So,
well, I mean, I don't like to brag. Yeah.
Yes,
maybe aside from that,
the draw, the goddess Jackie, yeah, she made a call that only Jackie could make. And on my birthday, of all days, I went to the city of Webster, Massachusetts, a day I will literally never forget, my 41st birthday, and Cash and Dax, we were going up, and they're, like, waving, and it's like, I will tell anybody that there are certain people that do meet and greets, and they go through the motions. They sign. They glad hand you, thank you for watching, and you move on. There is nothing wrong with that. They're doing their job. They're very professional, and you move on. And they are people that make you feel like they're just as excited to see you as you are to see them. That they're not just doing a job, that they genuinely love being here and being with the people. X and Cash are the latter of this. And, like, we're in line. I'm saying it, and they're, like, waving at us, like, hey, you made it kind of thing. And it's like, at that point, I should have known this is about to be a different type of meetup. And I have the class A with me, and I go up there, and, yeah. And he's like, so today's your birthday, right? And I was like, yeah. And, you know, he brings me side, calls everybody else. and then, you know, start singing happy birthday to me. Oh, and it's just like, if you ask me the day before the perfect version of this day, I would not have described what happened. This was more perfect than the most perfect version I had in my head, because I am very realistic, as we are. I'm in my 40s. I work every day a lot of hours, and I understand you don't have all this time. Mm-hmm. They had this crowd of people behind them. I get it. If you had to rush through so you could get to everybody, I understood. But they took their time out of this meet and greet, and it probably annoyed some probably people behind us. They sung me happy birthday. And, you know, had the class A, and he's like, yeah, we'll meet up after the show. And believe me, at this point in time, I'm like, okay, this is the perfect birthday. I'm good. I'm fine. If they meet us after the show, fine. If they don't meet us after the show, fine.
Yeah.
And after the show, we wait around to the point. I'm like, just, you know, I know. I mean, they're the biggest stars there with Bret Hart. I understand they want their time with Bret and all that stuff. So we're just, you know, we're just being patient and chilling. And I'm like, you know, just chill. They'll, you know, and they did. In the back of my mind, I had kind of lost hope. I was like, they're going to rush out of here and have to go back to their hotel. And then they's like, oh no, we're over here. And they come over and we take shots of Class A and we just talk like we're normal people. And of course me, I'm in this mode where I just want to tell them how much I love them, and they just want to have regular conversation. And it's like literally like nine things off my bucket list got checked in like one day. And it's like, I have to obligatory say that the best day of my life was the day I got married. I have to say that. I'm supposed to say that. I'm smart enough to continue to say that. But a close, and if a drunken confession, probably first, that was one of the best days of my life.
Oh God, I don't blame you for saying that, to be honest. That sounds honestly amazing. And like, I love those experiences. And I feel like, and I've been to now two sort of, well, maybe just one, but I've been to like the AW Fan Fest back when we were all there at the All Out one. And I said it after it was done. I'm like, I've been to the WrestleMania accesses. I've been to WWE signings. I really do personally feel that the AEW, I guess you can call them accesses, whatever they call these, I feel it's a lot more personal meeting the wrestlers there than it was when I was meeting WWE people. When I was meeting WWE people, it was a lot. It was like at least 90% of, you know, hi, how you doing? Shake hands. Here's your autograph. Quick picture. See you later. Here, I felt like it was a lot more closer. All the wrestlers kind of connected with the fans. They took their time and connected with the fans. And everyone, at least I met that day, was super cool. Honestly, it was like, again, like you said, it was like having a normal conversation with them. And it was just like, in my head, your brain's like, oh my God, I want to tell them. Like, you're the best, like nonstop. But then you're sitting there going like, oh, but like, you know, this is just like if I had a friend and we're just kind of reconnecting again. I feel like they do a good job of making those AEW accesses a lot better when it's like fan to wrestler meetups. And one of them was me personally, recently back in October when I went to AEW in Toronto, I got to meet Jamie Hayter, and I've been a massive fan of Jamie Hayter since she stepped the foot in the door in 2019, watching that first match against Britt. I was like, there's a star in this girl. I knew from that day that there was something big with this girl. I went back and started watching her Stardom matches, following her career, leading up to her return. I was over the top moon happy from her progress, what she went through COVID, being stuck and changing herself, making herself look better and getting into shape and doing all this stuff. I was so proud of her. And then I told her too, because I went up to go meet her and I'm like, you have no idea. I just went to AEW All Out Access, and I wasn't nervous at all meeting anybody. I met like 10, 15 people that day. Could say whatever I wanted. Felt so comfortable. I'm like, I'm stepping up to you right now, and I don't know what to say, and I'm nervous as shit. And she did her, and I commend her for this. She was the best. She did her absolute best to calm me down and to make it like I was just meeting up with a friend. She's like, it's just me. Like, I'm just Jamie. Like, there's nothing special about me. Like, she was, oh man, it was just, I can't really kind of describe that meetup and how much it meant to me, like meeting like a hero of mine technically, and the way she interacted with me. And I, you know, I told her like, I love watching all your stardom. As soon as I said start, the word stardom left my mouth, her eyes went bright. Like, she's like, yes, thank you. Like, she has a massive appreciation from stardom. And it, I told her, I'm like, watching your stardom matches got me hooked on stardom. So like, you did a good job of, you know, getting me on stardom and watching your career ever since then. And I just telling her how proud I was of her. And she was so cool. Jamie Hayter is by far the best interaction I think I've had with any wrestler that I've met so far. And I'll never forget that. I have that pinned on my profile right now. I don't think I'm ever going to take that off, because that was the greatest day I'll think I'll ever have. And probably until the next day, the next meetup that I have with her. So kudos to her. But yeah, you're right. Those, I don't know if any day is going to top your day though, Floyd, because that, if that was my birthday, oh my God.
Because it's such a point where it's like, when I'm telling the story, I don't want it to come off like I'm bragging. Because I, like, if you listen to the story, I give all credit to one person and one human in this world, and that is Jackie. So
if she are 5626926, yeah, I know. Yes. I know her.
Yes. It's not about, like, when I say this, I was like, it's not about like, oh, I know them or anything like that. It's about our friend that I met through the IWC, you know, did this for me. And it's like, didn't have to. I mean, I didn't ask her. This is like, she's like, I'm going to make this. We're going to make this happen. This is going to happen. This is on your birthday. And I'm like, and then it did. And it, like, even more than I expected happened. So I will, like I said, that it's not about me. It really isn't. It is about this amazing human.
Not about me. Not about me either.
No, dude. I had met Dax and Dash as Scott Dawson and Dash Wilder plenty of times, and I'm pretty sure they couldn't have picked me out of a lineup. like literally. And it was like, you put me next to like Chris Baymax and all this stuff, like, one of them's Floyd.
I'm like, oh my God.
He couldn't have picked us out of the lineup. Like, they know who Floyd is now.
You know? Right. I mean,
that with them. That didn't just happen. No one made that happen.
That's true, but I always say they could have said no. Yeah, and they could have said like, oh, like, we would love to, but it's just not doable. They could have come up with any excuse.
Our agent, our agent's doing that, you know, saying this.
Oh, they said like, you know, oh, you know, we're not allowed to. They could have like, you know, or they could have just said no for like a legitimate reason. But they were very compliant with it. They were very, you know, enthusiastic about it. And now that beautiful bottle of Clase Azul sits on your on your shelf as a souvenir for the day. No, and I love how Floyd tells the story about how we were all waiting patiently after the show. No, you were waiting patiently. I was a manic mess, and Floyd had to keep telling me, he's like, just relax, it's okay. They have a million things that they're probably doing right now. And I'm like, no, I'm not going to let them walk out of this building. Floyd, I'm not going to let them.
In the most jokingly manner, I feared for them if they tried to leave without hanging with us, because Jackie was zoned in and focused on that moment. And I'm just like, and it was like, hey, yeah, we're free, because they had to do a lot of signings and stuff, and they were spending time with Brett. You know, that's their hero. So I completely understand. And it's just like, dude, so much came from that night. You know, they have the moment where it got all over the internet, and it's like Dax drinking with Brett, right? And every time I see that picture, that's my bottle of Class A right there. That's the one that's sitting right here. And it's like, and I'm like, and then again, I think, okay, yeah, Jackie made this happen. And this is not serious. My wife's probably tired of hearing your name and how awesome you are. I talk about you pretty much constantly. I'm like, no. She probably loves you as much as I do without ever actually, I don't think y'all have ever actually met. Because, she's like, you light up anytime that moment is brought up, mentioned, thought about, when I look at the back of my phone. I don't know if y'all can see this, But on the back of my phone is the picture with Jackie Cash and Dax. That is, there's there forever. That's not getting replaced. It's just not. It's just like my wife's on my wife's inside my phone.
That's a great picture.
Yeah, by the way, that picture is there forever, and it's like FTR, LFG, and it's like it's kind of just like our motto. It's like I am just as big a fan of them as people as I am of them as wrestlers, and you know, again, I wouldn't know them as people if it wasn't for Miss Jackie.
Love that. Look at that,
Jackie. You are a true influencer.
That's one way
No, this, she did not bring me on this show to put me over. We never discussed this. Put her over. We never discussed this. I honestly didn't. Anytime I want to talk about it, it just makes me want to gush about my friend. So, sorry about that if that felt like too much.
I love that. No, it's never too much. But it's an excellent segue into this next question. Because you and I did meet through this lovely little thing we call the internet wrestling community. So I want to know, what's your favorite part of interacting with other wrestling fans via social media?
Okay, so before I became a part of the quote-unquote IWC, I had a very new, narrow idea of wrestling. I was the person in my life that knew the most about professional wrestling. So kind of how I saw things. And then there were slight variations on it. A lot of people live from my area. IWC showed me that no matter what you do, that there's someone out there that completely hates it. It's like, in my life, like Kenny Omega and Kazuchika Okada and Will Ospreay, and I can go on with the list, are some of the greatest wrestlers I've ever seen. They do things I've never seen before. In my mind, before I got on IWC, no way people could not love these people. There's no way people could see a Kazuchika Okada match and be like, that wasn't awesome. And then I found out, no, there are people that freaking hate all of my favorites and never want to see them wrestle. And it's like, and you'd think that would be like a negative thing, but I don't know. It just, it gave me, again, as a person, I look at it as it gives me much more of a broader worldview, and that people come from different parts of some different backgrounds. They like everyone likes wrestling for a different reason. Some people are all about the performance fighting. Some people are about the soap opera. Some people like, oh, if there's not a belt on the line, they don't care. There's so many different things, and it just lets you, like, if you listen, if you don't wait to argue, if you're not waiting to respond, you listen to people, you can get to a point where you understand their point of view. It doesn't mean you have to agree. It's just you understand their point of view, and you know, you can take it in. I know there are some people in this world, in this universe, for some reason, that find FTR boring. That breaks my brain. I don't even understand it. That like breaks my brain. I'm like, I don't get it. And then you sit down and listen to them, and they are more FTR, even though they can throw in some newer stuff, they are more traditional wrestling fans. And when you meet those people, they are more into the overall athletic spectacle that is professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. You don't get a lot of that from Dax and Cash on the day-to-day basis. Not saying they can't do it, but you don't get a lot of that. So I can understand why it doesn't appeal to them. I don't have to agree with it. It doesn't have to change my opinion, but I can understand it. And honestly, the variety of different people and things that make people angry and make people happy more than, you know, I lean more towards the stuff that make people happy and ecstatic, where they have those moments where they can barely speak. Those, that's my shit, you know. Like, like when Cody came into Mania, some people that I personally showed the video to, and it was just like that reaction, because I didn't know if it was going to be him, and I drove to Dallas and I paid the exorbitant WrestleMania ticket fees to sit there and hope he showed up. And then he did. And it was just like those kind of moments. And I seeing how people reacted, and the children and everyone, people at home on a thing. That is why I love it so much. That is why I travel all around. It's because it brings so much joy to so many people. So, open up the IWC. Just let me meet any more people. And as I am a people, I love people, even if they're annoying, or if they're not, or all their different things. Everything that comes along with people, you you know, I generally, I try to accept, even though I might not get or understand or like, but yeah, so people is probably the simple answer to why I love the IWC.
100%. We've met, or at least even myself, but even as a team here with Elite POV, we've met so many great people in the IWC, even as of late in the last couple of shows we went to. And there are some absolute gems, you included, Floyd, that are out there that, you know, it really does make being a wrestling fan, being in this community, a great thing when you meet these people and you connect with them on those levels. And that's why we kind of started this show as well, is to connect them. I know we can't really be in person, but connecting through this show as well is another cool thing to kind of connect with people in this community, like the people that are the positive ones, right? And a lot of great, and I call them again, absolute gems in this community. And I know Jackie feels the same.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this show in itself, Elite POV, would not exist without connecting through social media. Mm-hmm. Kyle and I would have never met if it wasn't for Twitter. Like, yeah. You know, that's like, we're in completely different countries. And if it wasn't for a few goofy tweets back in the beginning of, what was it, 2021, I guess?
Yeah.
you know, we would have never connected, never became friends. And then, you know, like, that's how I met Ant. That's how I met Phil. That's how I met Kimmy. Like, you know, so this is one big, you know, network. And I've met some of my favorite people through social media and wrestling. I would have never thought when I was the goofy kid who liked wrestling getting picked on in school that I would have met a bunch of like a network full of people through this forum. So it definitely has its perks. But on the flip side of that, what do you think is your least favorite part and some ways that things could be improved?
The croutons.
I'm gonna go with the general answer and say Twitter.
In general, yes.
Because as much as I've met people through Twitter, JR is probably one of the biggest, like, we became friends during the pandemic, and, you know, he's one of my closest people now. That's great. That's the good side.
Yeah,
and
we love JR here.
Then there's the other side, and, you know, when you're online and you're joking, because, you know, I always say 80% of my Twitter is non-serious, even especially when I'm angry. If it's coming off angry or whatever, literally, no, I am absolutely kidding. So I'll just use this post where I was like, if you've heard of Dax and Cash as hair and bald, you know, I hope you like stub your toe and you.
Oh, I remember this tweet.
It was like the silliest, like just minor inconveniences. I didn't want anything actually bad to happen. Then the troll gets on and it's like, imagine getting up that set, you know, over people that don't know you. And I'm like, oh, I was going to let go because liberty and positivity, why engage? But I'm like, dude. So first of all, you came on my profile to say I don't know them. First of all, look at the profile pic. Check on the pinned video. Yeah. I mean, there are some people that don't know them. Man, that's fine. I am not said person. Then Dax jumps in and he's like, he never thinks about you. And Dax jumps in, I think about Floyd all the time.
He's like, I think about Floyd every day. That was so great.
So it took like this not great experience, negative experience or whatever. And, you know, Dax flipped it and made it positive. But what I'm saying is those kind of things where when people see a tweet and they think they know you and they decide to comment based on their understanding of the tweet, which I don't even understand how you would take those words and make them angry in any way. I literally pick these silliest and most minor inconveniences that are possibly to show how not angry I was. And yeah, it was just like, I thought it came off as funny in my head and I put it on Twitter and it was just like, oh, this person took it serious. And he might not even take it serious. I don't know his part of it, but he decided to try to rain on my parade and tried to jump on my Twitter.
He picked
Twitter.
The wrong one.
Yes. And you get so much of that. Like, you'll get someone that'll react to your reaction to something and you'll be like, you completely misunderstood my reaction. And it's just like, because it is text, and a lot of times, you know, there's no sarcasm font. You know, I would have definitely put that tweet in the sarcasm font if there was one. There's no sarcasm font. Yeah. And people read it. And one thing I do tell people, because I'm not a, you know me, I'm not a huge texter. I will do it with the people that I care about, but I'm not a huge, like, sit there and type messages to people. But it's because you can't see my inflection. You see me talking. You wouldn't take anything, like, my whole tone would have to change for you to take what I'm saying serious or angry. But in their head, they have added, depending on their day, depending on their mood, their mental place, they have added a mood to that text. Was that my mood? Probably not. But they have added a mood to that text.
Projecting,
so Twitter,
yeah.
Yeah, Twitter can be the greatest place in the world, because some of my closest friends in the world, travel people I travel everywhere with, are on from Twitter. There's also a huge mutant blocked list that I have of people I don't want to interact. I am much more of a muter than a blocker. I think I may have blocked two people, and that's just because people I know love to retweet what they said. So when you mute them, you'll get that message that says, you know, you'll get an empty retweet, and it says you can't view this tweet. I don't want to see that. When I block or mute somebody, I want them gone from the face.
Yeah.
So I've moved a couple people over into the block. One person, I'm not going to say the name, that I, like, loved and respected my whole childhood. Like, and when I met him, it was like this crazy awesome thing. And then he just says shit, and I just can't be a part of that. And it's like, you know.
I think I know who it is. And we'll talk off air. Because I think I've said something about him before, and his clan came after me, so that was it.
Yeah, and that's the whole thing. It's just like I don't, you know, when you with that person, and you know certain things about them, and they're not anything like the character that they allow that they're presented as. You know what I mean? And it kind of annoying for in that moment. So it's like, I have my, like, pictures that I want to post up, and I don't put a picture of them because I know it just brings a negative connotation of everything. It's just like, you want to start a fight? Post this person, you know, that kind of thing. It's never what I want to do. I never post things to start a fight. It's like, it was like the whole engagement thing. I love engagement. I love to know about everyone's different wrestling experiences. I don't want anybody to have a bad time. You know, I don't want anybody to not enjoy this. I love it too much. So when it comes to it, that was probably one of my more negative experiences. I don't have a lot, because if you try to bring anger to me, I'm going to try to flip it. I'm going to ask you about you. I'm going to ask you, how's your day going? I'm going to ask you, you know, like, because I'm trying to figure out, why are you angry? You know, maybe I can do something about it.
Yeah,
maybe
I always go like, I hope you find peace.
Yeah, I'm not going to engage with you. Dude, enjoy the show. I'm like, if you like the Young Bucks more than FTR, cool. If you like other tag teams more than FTR, fine.
Sweet.
If you don't like Cody,
hey, that's your prerogative.
It doesn't affect my life. Yeah. It doesn't. I'm going to sit here with all my toys, and I'm going to talk to my friends, and I'm going to keep on keeping on, whether you like my favorites or not. You know what people don't realize? I probably have just as much Young Bucks merchandise as I do FTR. Probably, like, figure for figure, signing for signing, probably right there with each other. I love the Young Bucks. I prefer FTR more. They're like 1A in the 1A, 1B situation. But the Young Bucks match, I'm watching it, and I'm thinking it's going to be amazing. They choose to entertain two completely different ways. They're both fucking entertaining. And I just get, like, I don't understand why, if you like, especially in wrestling. Wrestling is a cooperative sport, not a competitive sport. So they're all working together. Why does it matter if I like one person and you like the other?
What a novel idea, really.
Who would have thought? Like, what?
I mean, I get it in real sports. If you want to do sports hate, and you're like, oh, I like this team, and you like this team, cool. That's fun. They're actually competing against each other. But the goal of wrestlers is all just put on an amazing show. So I don't know what we're getting caught up in.
Yep. Couldn't have said it better myself.
Really? But we've done a lot of wrestling talk, but I want to know, who is Floyd outside of wrestling? Like, what are some of your hobbies, your interests? Like, what are you about outside the world of wrestling?
So it is a term called cinephile. So people that like movies a lot. I am a huge movie person.
Love it.
I don't watch horror. That's not my particular brand. I actually watched this one that was called a horror called The Menu.
Okay.
With Ralph Fiennes. Oh God, I really love that movie. I thought it was really good. So, you know, you can do horror concepts and I watch it. I just don't like, I'm not going to watch like Jason or Friday 13th or whatever. I'm not going to watch any of those stuff. But movies. I'm a big rom-com person. Love Actually, 10 Things I Hate About You. Like all the traditional, like that 90s rom, like 80s, 90s rom-com area. Wow. It's like the golden time of movies for me. I can sit down and watch that, Four Weddings and a Funeral. I'm not going to do
what about like Christmas rom-coms, like those ones that come out? Like The Holiday and stuff like that.
Yes. The day after Thanksgiving through New Year's, I watch one every day.
Nice.
I watch one of the movies every day until New Year's Eve, because New Year's Eve, I always watch the movie New Year's Eve, and then my favorite movie of all time, When Harry Met Sally. The reason I do it on New Year's Eve, if you watch the movie, it literally like ends on New Year's. At New Year's, when all the acquaintances be forgotten, all that kind of stuff. And it reminds me to this perfect movie to me. It reminds me to watch it every year, because you get caught up in life and you're consuming like 8 different wrestling companies and you're watching 42 different TV shows and you're going to see new movies. It reminds me to pretty much go watch the movie that made me fall in love with movies. That is the blueprint. I love Love. I told Jackie that as much as I do. So When Harry Met Sally is like when I grew up, I told people it broke me, because I always like, oh God, the person that I meet and marry is going to be my best friend, like Harry and Sally. And it's like, I eventually got there, but it was a long road.
All that matters is you got there.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I'm one of those guys that watches Groundhog Day on Groundhog Day.
I think that's perfect. Some people think it's corny, but I think that's awesome.
Oh,
it's like
Bill Murray's
called Groundhog Day. Yeah, Bill Murray's dope. I love Bill Murray. I'm movies, TV, Friends, greatest show of all time. I accept no arguments. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. I just, anything you can tell a story on, I love. I mean, I'm a big Harry Potter fan.
Nice. Yeah.
Like a Hufflepuff.
I'm a pothead. I'm a Ravenclaw.
Yes, definitely a Potterhead. It was like, it's gonna a little wrestling when you go to AEW's talking about going to UK, and the plan is to go so I can do all the Harry Potter stuff, and then go watch AEW wrestling. So
Floyd, let me tell you what: if we're going too, we're gonna hit it up together, because I need to hit up that stuff too.
Let's say that's Kyle's like.
I'll be wearing my Ravenclaw hoodie, and we'll be going.
Yes, and I'm down there. But yeah, I'm like, any method or mode of a story. I love stories. I love experiences. I just love people in different situations, you know? So that is my thing. And like, very rarely do me and my wife talk about wrestling. So that should tell you, my wife is not a wrestling fan. And we very rarely talk about wrestling. We talk about the different shows we watch. She's a binger. I am not. That's the weirdest thing about me. As a person that loves TV and movies, I am not a binger. I like to chew on an episode for a while.
Yeah.
And let that episode stand on its own and be special and remember it. Because when you binge, and for me, not saying for everybody, a lot of times I lose what happens in individual episodes. It becomes like one piece of art instead of a 10 or 11 episodes that it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have that same kind of effect. Like, it becomes too homogenous for me. Like, and by the end of it, I'm like, oh, what happened in the last, like, 3 episodes? I need time to, like, digest it.
and you know everything that happened, but you don't like know how to necessarily break it up. So yeah, that's a big thing with me. Watching TV, love movies. I remember my fondest is when I was between 18 and 21. I was living with my brother, super broke. Super broke. I would get enough money to go to a movie. And so I'd have my brother drop me off at the theater at 10 a.m. or like right around the first time movies start. And I'd pay for one movie and I'd watch all the movies. So one time I actually stayed from 10 a.m. to 1 a.m.
Oh, wow.
Last movie ended at 1 a.m. And I would have to go get on the payphone and call my brother to pick me up. A payphone. Wow. Yes, I am that old.
Oh, I remember those. Look it. Yeah.
I ain't yes,
I. Oh, let's say we know.
Yes. So, and it was so funny because I'd have to bring 50 cents in case it ate your quarter. You don't want.
Oh, the worst.
Yes, you don't. That was the worst because you put that quarter in and it just like, and it doesn't work. And it's like, you need that backup quarter in case. Because otherwise, there was no way home. There was no cell phone. There was. Oh, nothing. It was like you're walking several miles to get home. So,
yep.
No, but yeah, I fell in love with movies. I love bad movies. I know people that were like, what? Like Ready to Rumble? It's one of my comfort movies. Dude, Where's Your Car? Just like, especially like terrible movies. That's my shit. So I'll sit there. I will probably like I could give you my top five movies, and I would probably, if you ask me what movie are you gonna go watch, and you throw in like Dude, Where's My Car or something, it's probably gonna be one of the really bad movies. But like the most, it's not a bad movie at all. A cult classic, Friday, is the movie I've seen most in my life.
Yeah,
I can honestly say without exaggerating, I've seen that movie 200 times.
That's Independence Day for me. I think I've seen that movie a billion times.
Oh, I've seen Independence Day a lot.
And I've seen Independence Day a lot, too. Yeah. Oh, God. I thought, like, how I feel about The Rock right now is I think he's the greatest human era. Teenage Floyd probably felt that way about Will Smith. I just thought he was, like, I would watch anything with Will Smith. Just, like, I just thought, hey, Will Smith's going to be on The Tonight Show. Staying up.
Love that.
So I got one last question for you, and this is a good one because we've talked about this before, but probably not in so much detail. But let's say Kyle and I were to visit you in Oklahoma. Where are you taking us?
Okay. So this is my fun answer because when people think like, oh, you live in Oklahoma, it's like, one person legitimately asked me, do you have malls there? I'm like, I mean, it's modern times.
Hey, I live in Canada. You want to know the questions I get?
So we have, we're modern. Like we have everything, everyone. But this came from my first wife and it has continued to my second wife. I'm obsessed with food. And this show called Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Yes.
Yes.
Guy
Fieri. Flavor Town.
So the first place I'm taking you is to this little town called Okarchee, Oklahoma. There is the best fried chicken that you've ever had. And it's called Aishin's. And it's a bar. Like, it was legit a bar that just happened to make chicken. And it kind of blew up to this classic chicken place. And I love this place. Best fried chicken in the world. And it's shocking to me because I'm going to say something, hopefully not offended. It's made by white people. So I was very shocked that the best fried chicken I ever had was made by these white guys at a bar. And it's like you go to the bar, I'm on the outside, and I'm like, am I allowed to be here? And then I go in, and it's just like freaking amazing chicken. So they pull out the wax paper, right?
Okay.
And they serve the chicken in like whole chickens.
Oh,
so they fry the whole chicken and they're like, you look for the plates. There's no plates. You eat on the wax paper.
What?
And then when you're done eating, they just take the whole table and throw it in the trash can kind of thing. And it's like,
oh,
it's like freaking genius. And I'm like, Why don't more people do it this
These
way?
These people living in 2050 right now.
Yes. So they just take it all off. There's like no real bussing of the table. They just throw everything away. And it's amazing. The food is so good. It's like, yeah, anybody that comes in, I'm going to take them there. And then the other place, again, involving food, because that's kind of what Oklahoma does.
Get me hungry.
There's a burger. There's a burger spot. So there's this trailer or a house or trailer, and it's called Nick's Grill. And the guy basically lives there. He lives in the trailer. And then the front of his house is kind of like a grill. Oh. And like at most, 8 people can sit in there.
Okay.
And he goes in, like most people take the food and go. He makes a onion burger, and it's just like,
oh,
he's like standing there, he's sweating. And I always say there's a little bit of sweat in every one of his burgers, but I'm, you know, so he smashes the onions in and then fries it, and then he has fries going, and he just kind of throws it on there, and it's just like, okay, it's like, it's when they talk about dives of the driving, it's a dive for every. Into the purpose, but it's literally the best burger you ever had. I mean, he does not. I don't. If you're not an onion person, it might not be the best to you. But he puts the onions like right in the burger and fries them and seasons the shit out of it. And the bread is buttered and man, it's delicious. So when I, you know, when someone's coming out of town, you know, I want to show them the best of Oklahoma. So I'm definitely taking you to those two places. I feel like everything else, like. We have a botanical gardens. We have the Oklahoma City Thunder. We have a whole bunch of stuff, but you can kind of go see that kind of stuff anywhere. These two places are as Oklahoma as it gets. Not many states have an official burger, but the official burger of Oklahoma is the onion burger, and that's what Nick specializes in. And to me, like this, the idea that you have to go out to the kind of the middle of nowhere. They put a casino there recently, but it was in the middle of nowhere, and just like you're driving. He's like, where's the chicken place? And it's like, it's right there. You know, it's like right there. It's like, I remember, it's like, when I first went to it, I was like, this can't be the place. And I go
it's
in.
It's like,
and
oh, yes, it is.
Oh, these places are so particularly Oklahoma. That's absolutely where I would take you.
That's like Niagara Falls. Like, if anyone came here to visit me, I'd be like, yeah, great. There's a big waterfall there. We'll stay there for 5 minutes, but we're going other places. We ain't staying here watching water fall down a chute. No, we're not doing that for 12 hours out of the day. I'll take you to the real Canada, not this crap, this tourist trap.
No tourist traps or whatever. Like, you got to go. You got to find those, like, hole in the wall.
Believe me, you can go see the waterfall you want, but we're not spending any more than 10 minutes there. Okay, it's running water. What else are you going to see?
I will be remiss if I don't mention Norman during OU football games is probably the biggest party in Oklahoma.
Oh yeah.
So if you ever came during your college football season, even if you don't like football, you're like, you go to this area, you park and you walk around and they have all these tents and all that stuff. And then honestly,
that's awesome.
If you're into college football, you know, you've probably heard about the experience. But as you're walking, if you're wearing the right gear, you'll get a brisket sandwich. you'll get like pork chops. Like people are just so welcome. Here's a beer. You look hot. Here's a beer. It is like, like OU's the football experience is one of the greatest. I always tell people, they were like, I don't have a ticket. I'm like, wait a minute. Just go up there and wait. Like, people will just give you a ticket. Someone didn't show up here.
Wow.
And it's like club level and all that stuff. I'm like, I am not an OU football fan. I am a huge football fan, but I'm not an OU football fan. But I will tell the tailgating experience in Norman is like no other.
Wow. That's awesome.
Well, we're going to Oklahoma, Kyle.
Sign my ass up.
I tried to sell Decky on it. I was like, dude, I got a jacuzzi and I got a treadmill. So, I'm like,
you had me at the fried chicken place. It's already sold.
I'm like, the way to my heart is through my stomach, 100%. So it's like just I could be bought with food. So
dude, yes,
we're taking the podcast to Oklahoma. That's it. It's
Whenever
been decided.
I look for DD&D places, and the fact that we have a few here is kind of awesome.
So we're going to wrap things up here. It's been fantastic having you on the show, but Floyd, tell us a little bit about your podcast, where they can find your podcast, and where they can find you on Twitter.
To borrow from another company, we run the longest running weekly episodic AEW podcast in existence. There were two that started before us, and they have since stopped running. I actually listened to them both the whole time that they ran, so I was very sad to see them go. But it's me and Austin Sumowitz. Austin is the professional. He is actually a sportscaster in Michigan. Like, that is his legit. So he gets on, and he does a lot of people can't do, which is what I ask him to do. He tells me when to shut up, because I can go on. I can go on and on. And every podcast we do would be 3.5 hours if I said everything I thought. He is there to keep us at a tight hour to an hour and a half. So it's you can consume it or whatever. But yeah, we are the Proclivity of Positivity. We are pro punk, though. So if you're not pro punk, probably don't want to listen to our show. We are pro
punk. And there's nothing wrong with either.
Yes. No, but I'm also pro Young Bucks. I'm pro professional wrestling. Yeah. I mean, I love it. It is my first and longest love. So if you don't episode and you don't hear me just being passionate and excited and everything, let me know so I can quit doing the show. Because I look forward to it. I genuine love of professional wrestling and the men, women, non-binary that do professional wrestling. Mm-hmm. I love them all. If you've taken a bump, I love you, and I'm going to always treat your art with respect when I talk about it. That's awesome. What you'll get from the show. You can follow at AT Elite Pod. That's my one weakness. I don't tweet enough from the show account. I mean, Elite POV is kind of, I see y'all, and I'm like, man, they're on top of their shit. I don't tweet enough from the All Things Elite account. I was like, oh yeah, I'm like, man, send one tweet a day. And I'm like, that lasts for 3 days and then I am done.
It is a full-time job. And where can they follow you if they want to follow me?
It's my name, at Floyd Johnson Jr.
I'm right there on the screen. You guys can't see it, but it's right in the layout there for everybody to see.
Yeah. I'm very, very boring when it comes to the Twitter names. It's one weird thing. When I got on Twitter and I heard about burner accounts, I thought it was super important that my Twitter be my name, because I was like, so you will know that everything I say is coming from me. And I was hoping, because, you know, a lot of people that follow me or whatever know me, that they would know my personality. That is not necessarily the case, so. But still follow at Floyd Johnson Jr.
Love it.
Love it. Well, Floyd, thank you so much for being our first ever guest on the iHeartWC podcast. It's been a pleasure having you here. And
it's been a pleasure being on. I am glad I was on your virginal hosting gig. So I'm glad I was here. I was glad I was your first. You know, and that was amazing. No one can take this from me.
No one can take it from me.
We're ending the show. No more shows.
That's it. One and done.
Yeah.
It's never going to get better than this. We've peaked.
Yeah.
But I also want to say thank you to anybody who is watching this early on Patreon, all of our Patreon subscribers. We love y'all. Thank you for the support. If you are watching this on YouTube at a later time, we want to encourage you to sign up on patreon.com/elitepov. Not only will you get this show early, but you will get a lot of extra perks. We have a lot of great things going for our Elite POV Patreon subscribers. So we encourage you to go check that out and subscribe today. So a lot of great shows happening there, including this one, the iHeartWC podcast. Can't wait to have more interesting and fun guests on here. Kyle, let them know where they can follow you.
Don't follow me at all. Don't follow me.
Don't pull that.
I'm at all Kyle on Twitter. But yes, as Jackie said, we have a lot of fun stuff coming to the Patreon page. So guys, thank you so much for supporting us each and every single month, whether you're in the $1, $5, the $10, the $20 tier, whatever tier you're in, everything helps. If you're watching this on YouTube, another way you can help us, by if you can't support us on Patreon, that subscribe button right down there. That is free to click on, believe it or not, even that like button. You just click those twice for us. That helps us in the long run. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to our very first episode, one of many to come. But Floyd, thank you very much for coming on today. We love you for doing this. Guys, we will see you next time for another episode of the iHeartWC podcast.